The Word of God from the letter to the Colossians. In the first chapter, verses 12 through 14, where the apostle wrote, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We like to affirm our faith, and this also from Colossians, in some of those same verses, the first chapter. "Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This is what we believe here at Daleville Christian Church. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. Life with Jesus is way better than life without Jesus. What we're learning this season before Easter is that life with Jesus continues forever. If you believe this, if we believe that life with Jesus is better, if we believe this new life is available and possible and preferable to living without God, then we have a mission. We have a mission to let as many people know as we can. That is our mission. That's our mission from Jesus. Now we get to spend time in God's Word today. The God we so often run from is still trying to communicate with us. The Lord's trying to communicate with you. Every sermon on hell needs to communicate that God not only cares about us, but that God has not given up on us. Every sermon on hell needs to communicate that God not only cares about us, but that God has not given up on us. I've run from God, but God has pursued me. The Lord continues to offer us a new way to be human. Not human like Adam and Eve, who didn't trust God, but to be human like Jesus and trust the Heavenly Father. Sermons about hell are actually supposed to be about hope, because to talk about hell is to always say no one has to go to hell if they don't want to. We determined to talk this season before Easter about hell. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus talked about hell more than anyone in the entire New Testament. As a matter of fact, in all of the gospel books, who even brings up the topic of hell? Only one person brings up the topic of hell, and it's Jesus. And words are important here. I don't think that Jesus assigned or consigned people to hell. Jesus asked questions. Jesus issued warnings. Jesus was concerned that people were going to perish. With that being said, I thought it would be helpful for me to say that I deserve to go to hell. Yes, I deserve to go to hell. As I mentioned earlier, I did not intend to consign people to hell in the sermon. I'm not really consigning myself to hell, but having read the Bible, I know that I deserve to go to hell. Now, I appreciate no one amen that statement, and I also appreciate that the elders did not blurt out, "Well, what did you do this time?" But listen to what I said. I didn't say I was going to hell, did I? No. And I did not say that I wanted to go to hell. I said that I deserve to go to hell. It's a deeply theological statement. It's also a Bible truth. We want to spend some time in understanding that statement. And sometime in this season, before Easter, you'll be able to tell other people with certainty and clarity, "Did you know my pastor deserves to go to hell?" And those people might say, "Really? Tell me all about it." Early in this season, before Easter, we talked about the first humans, Adam and Eve. They made a choice, several choices. In the garden where the humans lived, Satan told the humans that what God said wasn't true. And instead of taking their time to make a decision, or instead of checking back with God, or deciding to simply not listen to Satan, the humans decided to eat the one fruit that the Lord God had told the humans they should not eat. Well, that changed everything, see? The humans ate that fruit, the humans weren't trustworthy. And God had to wonder if they would believe him again, or wonder if they would believe him anymore. The humans didn't see themselves quite the same way after that either. As a matter of fact, the whole world looked different to them after they ate that fruit. So they couldn't live in the garden anymore. Now, we don't have a lot of time to follow the rest of human history out, but let me put it this way. We just saw how Adam and Eve think. And people have been thinking that way ever since. We decide that what God said isn't true. We don't take the time to check in with God or decide to not listen to Satan. So we go our own way instead of going God's way. Me too. I'm human. I've been called a lot of things, but my genetic structure says human being. And that means that a lot of my life, I've wanted to go my own way and not God's way. And that means that I can't live with God. God's will is done in heaven. I've proven that I don't want to do God's will. I can't live in heaven. If I can't do God's will, or I won't do God's will, then I can't live in heaven where God's will is done. There's only room for one will in heaven, and it's God's. And therefore, I deserve to live in hell. I'm going to just leave it at that for a moment, that I deserve to live in hell. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all sinned." Maybe I should add that I don't want to live in hell, and we have already read that God doesn't want me to live in hell, that hell wasn't even made for me to live in. Hell is for the devil and his angels. So I need some help. So notice that. I need help. I deserve hell. I don't want to go to hell. I need help. The phrase, "Lord, rescue," occurs in Scripture 40 times. Our God is a rescuer. The Lord is a rescuer. The Lord rescues. People cry out for the Lord to rescue them, and the Lord does rescue them. Hear the words of the apostles, again from Romans chapter 7. "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" In Galatians, "He gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father." Today's verse from Colossians, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." And in 1 Thessalonians, "Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." So just to make it clear, I can be rescued. We can be rescued. God is rescuing us. Now, if you don't need to be rescued, guess what? The Lord won't rescue you. If you don't feel that you need to be rescued, the Lord will not rescue you. Jesus thought we needed rescuing. Jesus thought we needed to be rescued, and Jesus died rescuing us. Jesus knew I needed to be rescued. I knew that I needed to be rescued. Last time I shared some moments from the life of Corrie ten Boom, and since I talked about her life last time, I put some of the details in the sermon notes. But Corrie ten Boom, arrested by the Nazis in World War II for her work to help the Jews in her country, Corrie and her family were imprisoned. Corrie went to a concentration camp. Corrie had an opportunity to talk to one of her judges. The judge couldn't stop thinking about some of the things that Corrie told him about Jesus. Corrie then said, "Jesus is a light come into this world. No one who believes in him remains in darkness. Is there darkness in your life?" And the judge answered, "Darkness? There is no light at all in my life." A judge, a man who has standing in the community, a man who is learned, a man who has responsibilities. That man said, "There is no light at all in my life." Although this judge helped Corrie, he did not give his life to Jesus. After the war, Corrie said that she met the judge in Germany and asked him, "Did you bring your sins to Jesus? It says in the Bible, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness." And the judge's answer was this, "No, I did not do that. I'm a very good man, and I have never committed sins." And Corrie ten Boom told him, "I'm sorry that you think that, because that means that you cannot have salvation. Jesus will never, ever send anybody away who comes to him." See, the judge did not think that he needed to be rescued. Therefore, the judge could not be rescued. To put it in some of the terms Jesus used, if you're not sick, you won't see the doctor. And if you don't think that you are sick, you certainly are not going to let the doctor treat you, right? But friends, I've known for a long time how much darkness was in my life. And I've known a long time how sick I am. Now, I don't have to convince you. The Lord already knows all about my darkness and my sickness. However, for any of you who may not be sure, I might point to Jesus' own story that Jesus told. It's the story we call the prodigal son, but Jesus begins the story by saying it's about a father with two sons. It's the story of the two sons of the one father. The younger son needed to be rescued. It's obvious. He left the father, things went badly, and he wanted to return, and the father received him back right where the son left off, even threw a party for the younger son. But the other son, the older son, it's not obvious that he needs to be rescued. Rescued from what? He has the house, the job, the family, the community support, the rest of the inheritance will be his. But when the time comes to be reconciled to his brother, the older son can't do it. The older son, the older brother, can't join the party. Although the older son stayed on the job and in the home and in the family and in the community, what we discover is that this son's heart is far from the father. The older son's heart is far from the father, even if his body never left the house. Hear this. This son's heart was far from the father, even though he never left home. Jesus wanted two groups of people to hear this story: the younger prodigal sons in his audience, that is, the sinners who knew they were sinners. And Jesus wanted the older sons in his audience to hear this story. The Pharisees are like the older son. The Pharisees are more like older sons. There they are, doing the Father's work, toiling, looking forward to the day of their inheritance. But their hearts were far from God. Most people will never say that they're like the Pharisees, but they might admit that they are often like the older son. How many times did Jesus remind the Pharisees of their own sins? Sins of pride, sins of self-righteousness, sins of feeling shortchanged when they weren't shortchanged, sins of comparison, the sin of thinking they put in long hours for God, but they're not able to join the party of salvation, the party of reclamation, the party of reconciliation. Their hearts knew so little love. And since God's heart is all about love, their hearts are far from the Heavenly Father's heart. So whether I've run from God, or whether I've stayed close, but my heart isn't the heart of my Heavenly Father, I need to be rescued from the mess I'm in. And Jesus died to rescue me. Now, since I deserve to go to hell, why do I now believe that I will not be going to hell? Well, ever since I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior and my shepherd and my guide, that is to say, I accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, I've been healing. I've been healing from the inside out, and I've been healing from now to back into my past. Not only has everything I've done wrong been forgiven, but the Holy Spirit has been at work in me, so I won't try to do things my way. And instead, the Holy Spirit prompts me and teaches me to do things God's way. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't always get his way. If you need proof, ask my wife. But I'm still healing. I don't fully have the mind of Christ yet. I can't claim I'm even close to having the mind of Christ yet, but that mind of Christ thing is in the Bible. It's in the Bible for every person, and it's in the Bible for every church. Each of us is moving toward having the mind of Christ, and the church is moving towards having the mind of Christ. Oh, there's one last part of the story of Corrie ten Boom and her judge. I just told you a little bit ago that the judge's first reaction to a discussion about sin was to deny that he'd ever committed a sin. But in talking with Corrie, the judge discovered one sin that he had committed. Corrie told him to ask the Lord to forgive him for that and thank the Lord for forgiveness, which he did. Then later, the judge said he thought of another sin. And Corrie said, well, then you see that you are a sinner and need Jesus. When the judge thought of a fourth sin, Corrie knew that the old judge was ready to receive Jesus. The judge did, and Corrie knows that the judge is forgiven. Jesus didn't finish his story of the two sons. Jesus wants us to finish the story. Will the sons truly be the sons of their Father? Will each of us truly be children of the Heavenly Father? Will we, whether we have run very far from God or whether we have stayed at home but our hearts ran away, will we go to the party of forgiveness, the party of reconciliation? Will we say yes to the Father's offer to truly be his children? Will we be rescued by the one who came to rescue us? Jesus came so that we would not perish. Why live without God in hell when God never intended that for any of us? Why not call on the rescuer, start a relationship, and have a relationship with the Lord that can go on forever? That's what the Lord wanted for us when the Lord started this whole thing. Every sermon on hell needs to communicate that God not only cares about us, but that God has not given up on us. I've run from God, but God has pursued me. The Lord continues to offer us a new way to be human. Not human like Adam and Eve, who didn't trust God, but to be human like Jesus and trust the Heavenly Father. Sermons about hell are actually about hope, because to talk about hell is to always say, no one has to go to hell if they don't want to. Again, our scripture for today, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Amen.